who is currently still in the game. He's the pitching coach of the Houston Astros tonight, today. He's the Astros pitching coach. Dude, I don't know, but he had to be in his 20s and he was a pitching coach for the Charlies.
Oh, my word.
And that's 79. How many
that's
years
resilience.
Is it? 89, 99. I went to Florida State, so I got to do the math on my fingers.
I had to take off my shoes.
89, 99, 09, 19. That's 41 years ago.
Same organization.
And he's in the same organization. He's a pitching coach now in the World Series for the Astros. Brent Strom. How about that?
Well, I mean, that's a great story, but you still got to pull for the Braves.
Yeah, absolutely. But you'll only get that story right here on this radio show.
Exactly.
Let me tell you. Nobody
now
knows.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Nobody knows that story but me.
Now, did you meet any cool cats when you were down there with the Dukes or the Isotopes?
I had, Del Crandall was the manager of that
team. Remember Del Crandall?
He was the manager of our ball club there. And we had a lot of great players that came through there. Man, you just name all those old Dodgers, Candy Maldonado, and man,
was Tommy the coach then? Tommy Lasorda?
No. He was a major league
yeah,
manager.
Yeah, yes. Dodgers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And Crandall was managing our ball club. But who's the guy? Steve Sachs had the throwing problem, couldn't throw the ball.
Oh yeah.
He played for our team when I was there. So I mean, we just had a. We had a cool bunch of guys that came through. We got a guy named Brock. Remember big first baseman named Brock, who had a great career with the Dodgers later on. Dude, you're taking me back 40 years here.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So it's some of the names are a little fuzzy at this point. But,
okay,
yeah.
So how did you end up leaving broadcasting? Well, you wanted to make money, first of all. How did you leave broadcasting and then get into the collegiate world?
I was in Albuquerque doing those games, and a guy by the name of John Bridgers, I knew, who was the former athletic director at Florida State when I was a student. He took the job as the athletic director at the University of New Mexico when I was in Albuquerque. Strange bedfellows, right? New Mexico Lobos. And they were right across the street. Our ballpark, where the Dukes at that time played baseball, is right across from the athletic department at the University of New Mexico.
I've been there. And I didn't realize that the AAA was that close.
Yeah, it was right there. So John, well, I assume they're still playing in the same ballpark. I don't know. But John Bridgers comes out as the athletic director, and I was the only guy in town who he knew. He was brand new. He didn't know anybody. And he knew me because of the Florida State connection. So he would call me up and he'd say, hey, you want to go to lunch? You know, I got to pick your brain a little bit. So I started, kind of hanging out with John Bridgers. And one day he said, hey, you don't want to hang around doing this baseball stuff. You need to come to work for us. And that's how I made the transition to going back to, college work. And I really enjoyed the college sports. In retrospect, that was really my calling, the college athletics. I was more into that world than really the professional sports world.
Well, you also had a personal relationship with the Bowden family. Share that with our new audience.
Well,
this is really cool.
Well, the Bowden family goes back to when I was a wee toddler up in, as I said,
about 40 years ago.
As I said, growing up there in Tally, and our house was catty-cornered from the house where Bobby Bowden and his family lived. But Bobby Bowden wasn't Bobby Bowden then. you get it? He wasn't really Bobby Bowden. He was just a guy, coach. He was an assistant coach under Bill Peterson at Florida State.
He just happened to live in the neighborhood.
Just lived in the neighborhood. He was a young guy. He was probably 30 years old, 32 years old. And a low-rung assistant coach. He was coached wide receivers at FSU at the time. And so we got and so you remember now, Bobby had all those sons. He had Tommy, who went on to coach at Clemson and Tulane and a number of other places. And then he had Terry, who, has some claim to fame as the coach at Auburn and other opportunities that he had. He went on to coach up at Akron, and he's still coaching. Terry Bowden is.
Where's he at now? Do you know?
He's at Louisiana Monroe.
Gotcha.
Louisiana Monroe. How about that? So anyway, Terry and I were the same age. So we're talking about Mike. We're talking about two kids that are 6, 7, 8 years old. So we're little tykes, first grade, first, second, third grade. Terry Bowden and I were best of buddies because we lived right near each other. Played sports every day. We went out and built this little golf course in a.
I love that story.
We built a little golf course in this vacant lot between our houses, and you know, we shot baskets. I had a hoop in my backyard, and we'd go out and shoot baskets until it got too dark to see. And so we became very good friends, and the Bowdens were my friends way back then, and then they left. They disappeared. Bobby got a job as the offensive coordinator at West Virginia, later became the head coach there. They left Tallahassee. So poor Hogan loses his buddy. Terry's gone, and he's up at West Virginia. And lo and behold, many years later, 1976, Bobby Bowden is hired as the head football coach at Florida State. So here comes my buddies back. And they made the circuit all the way back from West Virginia back to Tallahassee.
And it's old home week then.
So we reacquaint. And as fate would have it, I'm working in the athletic department at that time. You know, I'm working in the sports information office. And so one of my jobs is to cover Coach Bowden's team. And so we kind of rekindled all that. And so, I later became the sports information director there and worked every day for 15 years with Coach Bobby Bowden. I was his PR guy. I mean, I worked with him literally joined at the hip every day for all those years that I was there. And it was great times, just great times.
What a blessed man you are. We're talking to Wayne Hogan here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I want to welcome our affiliates on the Tantalk family of stations. And you can stream us live on stpetesportsconnection.com as well. And, Wayne, I got to have you tell the story. You've told it before, but again, we have a new audience. About the time the guy came down from New York City to interview Bobby Bowden. That's one of my favorite stories that you've shared, because people have a hard time believing that he was that genuine, but this solidifies it, one of the many stories that solidify it.
Well,
it,
this is a story about Malcolm Moran. Malcolm was the sports editor for the New York Times. He was the college football sports editor for the New York Times. And he called me one day. I was the sports information guy, and he said, look, I want to come down. This guy Bowden, what's the story with this guy? I mean, I see him on TV. I see all these quotes. He's cracking jokes. He's got all these people following him. He says, what's the deal? I want to come down and meet him. I want to do a story on him. I said, Malcolm, come on down. This was August. It was preseason. It was before the season. This had to be back in maybe 1985, 86. We were just starting to get rolling with Deion Sanders and some of those great players. And so Malcolm shows up.
Hall of Famer.
Malcolm shows up in Tallahassee. He gets off the plane, and it's probably August the 25th. The temperature had to be, air temperature had to be 100. Humidity had to be 110. And he's wearing
slicker.
He gets off the plane, and he's in a dark jet black suit.
What a
long sleeve shirt. Got the little thin tie on. And he takes about 5 steps onto the airport tarmac. And back in those days, you had no jetways. They had to come down the stairs.
He had to walk.
And he takes about 5 steps. And I look at him. I'm waiting to meet him there at the airport. He's got sweat is just pouring down his face. And I said, this is going to be a tough trip for Malcolm. But we got him over to the athletic department. And, I had set up a time for him to go see Coach Bowden. And I told Coach Bowden's assistant, Sue Hall, the great Sue Hall. She was beautiful. She just took care of everything. She was his scheduler and all of that. So I said, you need to at least plan for an hour. This is going to be a big interview, so let's make this a 1-hour block, and we're going to have a good time with this. So I bring Malcolm up to Coach Bowden's office. Sue says, you guys can go on in, but coach is having his lunch right now, and he's got a guest in there, but don't worry about it. He said to have you come on in, so we go in. But Bobby gets up from his desk. He's got a towel wrapped around his neck, and I look down, and he's barefooted. He has no he literally has no shoes. He's barefooted. He's got an old ratty looking coach's shirt, polo. Looks like it's gonna, you know, kind of stained from some tobacco or something that's been spilled on there. And I introduced Malcolm Moran, the great Malcolm Moran, to Coach. Coach said, "Hey, buddy, come on in. Sit down. Let's visit for a while." He said, "You don't mind if I'm getting my haircut while you're interviewing me, do you?" And the person that cut his hair was a lady by the name of Pam Eve. She worked down in our equipment room. She was one of the assistants down there. They handed out the cleats.
And the barber on the side.
Apparently had some talent at that.
That's part of the resume.
She'd come up to the office and she'd cut Coach Bowden's hair. So she's back there working on his hair. Got his feet up on the desk.
Oh,
he's got a giant salad in front of him. Sue Hall would go get Coach Bowden a bowl of salad every day because Coach was always real conscious about his weight. And he always fancied himself as being a really healthy eater. You know, I try to eat healthy. You know, I don't like to eat a lot of fattening stuff, bread and things like sweets. Oh, he was bad about sweets. He was bad.
That's the only thing I have in common with him.
Don't put sweets in front of him. Anyway, so he tells Sue, go down and get me a salad for lunch. So Sue Hall would go down to the training table, you know, where they had everything. They're feeding the players down there. And Sue would come back, and she'd have this bowl. I swear to you, it was as big as a bowling ball. And it was filled up to the brim, and she had put, you know, meat and cheese and potatoes, everything, you know, anything they had down there, croutons, and slathered it with all this dressing.
So really it wasn't lettuce. It was
No, it was a giant salad, and he'd be sitting there eating this salad, and he'd be going, "I'm just having a little salad for lunch." And it probably had more calories than a Big Mac, right?
He had cheese on it, 3 pounds of meat. It's a salad.
Yeah, he's having his salad. So anyway, Malcolm gets done with the interview. Coach Bowden, during the haircut, during the salad eating, during the fact that he's just, you know, kind of kicked back. And Malcolm comes back down to my office, which was in the same building, and he says, "Hey, Hogan." He said, "What the hell was that? What was that?" I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean, Malcolm?" He goes, "You guys put that on for me. That had to be an act.
That was staged.
That whole thing, yeah, it had to be. So, you know, I appreciate the, you know, the thought and all that, but I wish you hadn't done that." I said, "Malcolm, you don't get it, my friend. That is the man,
the
right
genuine
there.
Genuine Bobby Bowden.
That's the guy." And so he's told that story before, as have I, many, many times since that day.
Well, that's one of my favorites that you have shared with us in the years you spent with Bobby Bowden. So then you... You get a call out west, and you head to Montana.
Try to get the AD position at Florida State back in those days. Made a good run for it. I was kind of a young buck, and I had been a PR guy who, you know, there's a little problem, you know, bringing a PR guy into the athletic director's chair. But I made a good run at it, and they hired a guy named Dave Hart as the AD at FSU. And so I said, "This is great. I'm sure this guy's a good guy. I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing." By that time, I was an assistant AD and, you know, in charge of all the communications and marketing and all of that. I said, "Hey, I made a good run at it. I'll just go to work for Dave Hart and continue my life as a Seminole," because I thought I was going to be a Seminole the rest of my life. I never thought I would leave. Why would I? I'd been there forever, basically. Except
comfortable
for the,
and yeah. Knew everybody.
So they knew you. So Dave Hart gets in on the job his first day. He calls for a meeting, and he wants me to come down. And I said, "Well, this is probably where he's going to tell me how I fit into the group and all of this." And I walk into his office, and he's sitting there with the human resources manager, the lady that's in charge of, you know, like hirings and firings. And I knew that I wasn't in a hiring position at that point. And he just looked right at me and said, you know what, you've done a great job here. I appreciate everything you've done. 17 years, you've given your time and energy to this university. And dadgummit, you are a true Seminole, but you know what, you don't fit into my plans.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I didn't realize that.
That's sports, baby.
That
is sports.
The changing of the guard. He wanted his own people.
And he said, you know, you're just not going to fit into what I've got in mind. And so it's, sorry to say, but probably time for you to move on.
And then the Grizzlies came calling.
Well, I was desperate. It was a desperate time. I said, but you know what? I had been the interim AD. I forgot to mention that part. But while the Hart hiring was taking place, I was the interim. So I said, you know, I think I can do this. I think this is something I'd like to do. So now I got no job, and I go, well, let me find an AD. Let me find an AD position. And there was only 3 AD jobs open.
You know, these things are,
well, yeah. You know, there's only 100. At that time, there's 120 Division I-A schools. You know, Division I schools. And so, you know, it wasn't like you could go pick them off a grocery shelf. It's like what
is it? Stop and shop.
So the 3 jobs that were open, I'll never forget, were at Memphis, Maine.
All M's.
And Montana.
All M's,
brother.
Those
were the 3 jobs that were available. That were, you know, there were probably some smaller, I mean, little smaller schools, but those were the 3 that were high enough to, you know, to kind of get my attention.
So you could have been a bear, a tiger, but you became a grizzly.
Well, I didn't know what to do. And then I got a call from a guy named Sam Jankovic. And Sam, people that have been around Florida for a long time will remember the name, but others won't. But Sam was a former athletic director at the University of Miami. He hired Jimmy Johnson, and he hired Dennis Erickson at Miami. Sam was part of several of those Miami national championships back in the early 80s. He did such a good job there, Sam did, that he was hired as the general manager of the New England Patriots. So he left Miami to become the GM of the Patriots. And we were friends. Sam and I had gotten to know each other during his time. I was at FSU, he was at Miami. And so we had kept in touch, and he was with the Patriots. He got a 5-year deal with the Patriots. He was one of my first heroes because he got a 5-year deal with the Patriots.
Was that the Sullivans owned it then?
Yes.
Yeah, and then Kraft bought it after that. Got it.
So he got a 5-year deal as a general manager with the Patriots. Big money deal. He worked 2 years. They fired him. And they had to pay him the rest of his the other 3
Bravo.
Years of his contract.
It's the NFL, as we say, Brandy. Not for long.
So Sam's got a 3-year payout coming to him. So he has now moved back to his home country, which was really literally Montana. He grew up in Butte, Montana, the home of Evel Knievel, by the way.
Yeah, you stumped me last time on that one.
Butte, Montana. And Sam is back up there, and he calls me. He knows he kind of has his ear to the ground. He calls me up, and he says, hey, I know you're kind of, you know, in a little bit of a bind and looking for something. He goes, I got a perfect job for you. Where? Where's that, Sam? Montana.
What'd Dawn say?
She said, are you crazy? And that's what I said. Are you crazy, Sam? And he goes, no, you need to look at this. This is a great program, great people.
Gorgeous,
you'll
too.
Love it up here. You'll love it. So I come home that night, and my lovely wife, Dawn, had let that sink in for a day, this whole Montana thing, and she had been at Publix earlier in the day doing a little grocery shopping, and she looked on the rack there next to the checkout, and there was I believe it was InStyle magazine, maybe, something like that, one of those magazines, and she looks over there, and there's a picture of Andy McDowell. Remember the actress Andy McDowell?
Exactly.
So, and on the cover it says Andy McDowell thriving at her new home in Missoula, Montana. And she picks it up. It was like, Missoula, Montana? Where did I hear that? I heard it last night from my dummy husband. She picks it up. She's thumbing through the magazine. They got all these pictures of, you know, all the mountains and the snow cap and the rivers and, you know, wildlife, you know, the deer and the elk, and she's looking through this. And I swear I came home that night, and she throws that magazine in front of me, and she goes, "We're going to Montana." And that's truly
great story.
How we got involved at Montana, and I was lucky enough to get that job, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. Honest to goodness, two Florida kids moved to Montana. Everybody said, "You guys are crazy. How are you gonna survive out there?" And we had the best time of our lives. We really
just
met
got
the
back
best
from there.
People. Yeah, we were out last week. We were celebrating a 20th anniversary of our national championship. We won. We played in Division One AA.
You guys were the real deal. I remember the University of Northern Iowa having to compete against you guys.
Oh, it was
North
tough.
Dakota State, North Dakota, my neck of the woods.
Great programs. So so we had a great time, and that was probably one of the better times of our lives.
Well, I better not block my rock and roll fan, Brandi Winans, kind enough to take time out of her all-star travels around the world. Last night, Rolling Stones. Today, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Brandi Winans, you need to ask a few questions to my man there. I'll give you the mic. I'm going to have her talk about Florida Rising Stars and Rocky Blyer.
Yeah, I tell you, last night, people go, "Oh, does Mick Jagger still have his voice?" Does Keith Richards still play the guitar like he used to? Well, they did a beautiful intro to Charlie in the very opening of the show. It was absolutely magnificent. Let me tell you, they had about 11, 12 pieces of... they've got backup singers now. They've got the new drummer was absolutely amazing. They introduced him. All of the players, sax, they've had new sax players. They were amazing, and the sets that they would come out with, and then at the end of the night, fireworks, baby, all over the place. It
Beautiful.
Was awesome.
Beautiful.
It was awesome. And then last week I was at our NFL alumni Super Bowl of Golf, our national championship, where unfortunately my Tampa Bay chapter did not win this year. They came in fourth, but the Cleveland team just knocked everybody out in the shootout. It was amazing.
Hey, Cleveland rocks.
Cleveland rock. Frank Stams, every group plays with a celebrity, a former player, and Frank Stams' group came in and just knocked everybody out. But there's something else getting ready to come on right now here in Gainesville.
Before we segue, I was going to say you did Rolling Stones last night, and I am kicking myself because I didn't do that. But I also missed out on Jason Aldean tonight at the amphitheater.
No, he's there tonight.
I would love to have done that. So. Unfortunately, I didn't get that done.
Awesome.
So there is a World Series game, so that's some consolation.
I know. There's a little bit of, is this game three tonight? Are we tied? Game four I missed last night, so I haven't caught up yet because I didn't get home till almost 2 in the morning.
No, you would have missed it then. That's for sure. Although the way these games last, they could go to 2 in the morning.
Yeah, look what our Rays were doing on some of the playoff evenings. Jeez.
Four and a half hour games. You know, I said this week, I said that, you know, that now the baseball games have reached a point that they're just as long as the final round of the Masters. 4.5 hours. Same length. So anyway.
That's more exciting.
Well, I tell you, last year, Mr. Hogan and Mr. Jan Richards got me involved in a program via Mr. Barry Smith called the Florida Rising Stars. And Wayne and Jan have just done an amazing job on putting this this organization together, this 501c3. And we did a few things already this year. I've been volunteering as I can. And we did a beautiful event with Steve Spurrier a few months back in Gainesville. He was kind enough before the restaurant even opened to allow us to come up and do a VIP introduction night. And we got something else coming up here in a few weeks that I want Wayne to talk about.
Thanks, Brandi, and you've done a great job in helping us as well. We've got this cool organization that is teaching high school kids – about careers in sports, as most kid people that have come through that system understand, that you're only going to have a playing career for so long. And
exactly.
At some point, you know, you don't have to go off and be an accountant. You can if you want, or you don't have to work at SunTrust Bank, or you can actually stay a part of sports, and you can have a great life doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. Listening to what we've just heard from you in your career as an AD and in the other side of the sports world, which is what our sports academy at Florida Rising Stars does.
So we're doing that, and I appreciate your help with that. We're going into high schools. We've had a little bit of a hiccup because of COVID over the last several months. But this is really a unique thing. Anyway, it's all supported by corporate partnerships and donations. We don't charge the kids anything for this. We don't charge the high schools. We don't. We do this as a free offering. And we're bringing in some of the greatest practitioners, some of the greatest mentors.
Ambassadors.
Into these high schools. And these kids are never going to get this kind of a touch connection anywhere else. And so we bring them in, and it's a four-hour deal, and they come in, and these sessions are really pretty cool. Now, they may not understand the day we're there, what we're talking about. They're going to listen, and they're going to say, I never knew that. Everything we're going to say, they're going to say, didn't really think about that. Sometime in the future, they're going to look back and say, oh, yeah. I can still do this. You know, I may not be able to play shortstop for the Braves.
Right, or be a lineman with the NFL. Yeah,
but I can
NBA.
Do a lot of different things and have a great time in sports. So
and continue in the passion that someone has. Because I know, like with my husband, who was a former professional football player, he only played 7 years in the pros, but he played 18 years of football. And he was an All-American in basketball, football, and track. But he never left sports after he left the game because, you know, it was ESPN that morning and going out and speaking about the game and teaching people and coaching people. And, you know, the programs that we have at Florida Rising Stars is amazing if you're thinking about going into broadcasting. You've got Bill Patrick's Broadcasting School. You've got Lee Steinberg, if you're thinking about being an agent. You know, he's one of the greatest agents on earth. If you're thinking, like my son, of being an athletic trainer and going into sports medicine, you have all those wonderful opportunities to at least understand a little bit about what each one does. And then if it is a gift or a passion, pursue that.
Cool. It's very rewarding, and I'm excited about it. You know, it's close to my heart because it's my life. You know, I live that life, and so I'm just very excited about being able to bring this. If I had had this kind of information earlier in my life, it would have been hugely valuable. Most kids have to figure it out on their own.
Exactly.
Flounder around. They don't know where to turn, where to go. But anyway, so we need support. You know, it's all about the support. And one of our ambassadors is the great Rocky Blyer. And those of you who are over a certain age will remember Rocky Blyer from the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 1970s. Part of four Super Bowl championship teams. And, you know, back in the Bradshaw era and the Lynn Swan era and Franco Harris and all those great Steelers. And so Rocky was a big part of that. But we are bringing Rocky in because Rocky travels around the country and tells a story that is probably unmatched.
It is.
He went to school at Notre Dame, came out, was not a high draft pick, was a very low draft pick, in fact, and ended up barely making the Pittsburgh Steelers team. And during his first year as a professional football player, he gets a letter from the United States government saying he's been drafted into the Army, and they send him to Vietnam. And so Rocky puts his playing career on hold, packs up, he goes to Vietnam, where he is sadly sustains a very, very tough injury. A hand grenade blows up basically at his feet, and he suffers this, you know, terrible injury in which many people thought he wouldn't walk again, certainly wouldn't play football
again. Never play football again, absolutely.
And so the story of Rocky Blyer is how he fought his way back from that, went to the Rooney family who owned the Steelers, and kind of almost begged them to give him a chance to come back. He's been through a year or two of rehab trying to, you know, be able to come back and run and walk and produce. And they reluctantly give him a chance. You know, we'll bring you out. We'll give you a chance. And Rocky Blyer makes the team. Rocky Blyer becomes a starter. And Rocky Blyer is 10 years a part of the Steelers and has 4 Super Bowl rings. So his story is priceless.
It's so inspirational, and this is what we need today, Wayne. We really need stories like this with the economy, with the way that COVID has taken over, with everything that's happening in our world right now. These kids are our future, and they need somebody like a Rocky Blyer, somebody like yourself, somebody like myself going out and speaking, because they need inspiration to know that whatever they decide to do in life, they can. They can dream it. If you dream it, you can do it.
No doubt.
And Rocky did it.
So we're going to – Rocky has agreed to come down to Florida and make an appearance on our behalf. It's a fundraiser. I'll be right up front. This is to raise funds for what we're doing with these high school kids. And he's going to make an appearance. And by the way, the appearance that he's going to make for us is very intimate. There's 100 people at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Gainesville. On the very top is a place called Visors. Love that, don't you? Visors, huh?
I had to ask you what that was.
Visors is the name of the rooftop bar at Spurrier's.
Yeah.
Appropriately named.
Right. Right, absolutely.
And that's where this event is going to take place. So everybody is going to have an opportunity to meet Rocky Blyer, to, you know, do the pictures, do the autographs, whatever. And Rocky's going to tell his story. And why is that valuable? Because Rocky has traveled across the country, and he's doing a one-man show at theaters where they put hundreds of people in these theaters to hear him tell this story, because it's such a great story, and he's got such a great delivery and an inspirational message for everyone that attends. So he's going to do this for us, and so we're in the process of selling this now. It's going to be at Gainesville at Celebration Point. I know this radio, you know, I told my friend Mike here earlier, he's reaching more radio listeners than Rush Limbaugh, but anybody who has connections or friends that are Steeler fans, that's one. Two, Notre Dame fans. Three, veterans.
Veterans.
And four, perhaps live in the north.
In the area, it's not that far a drive, Tampa Bay. It's not that far a drive, Tampa Bay. And the date is November 15th.
November 15th. And I make this easy, and every time I'm on your show, Mike, it's to find the tickets and get information about this. If you're a big Steeler, if you're a big veteran, if you're a big Notre Dame fan, you've got to do this. FloridaRisingStars.com. Really easy. FloridaRisingStars.com. You can have tickets before this show is over.
Exactly, because we're all rising stars every day if we want to be, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Well, we'll make certain that we're launching a it probably be done prior to that event, but we will go ahead and provide the link to that site. We have it on our site right now, but we'll make certain that it is taken care of. We're going to also offer out to you an opportunity. We're going to start a video channel. So from time to time, we'll have the Florida Rising Stars and your young gurus come down and help us, and then we'll interview them and provide them with an opportunity to do the videography, see how we do the podcast, and I'm also going to be recruiting people for the radio side of things. So we could be a solid partner for Florida Rising Stars.
You're always ahead of the game, my friend. Always ahead.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm trying to. We're running out of time, brother.
I saw all these.
We're in the fourth quarter.
I saw all these Iowa fans in here. You got to be right at home.
Well, I brought half of them, and if you knew the score right now, we want to go home.
I don't know the score. I
think we're down 20-7. Yeah.
How's that Michigan State game?
Michigan's up by 7.
Wow, that's going to be a good finish then, isn't it?
All right. So tonight, you and the lovely Dawn are going to be the Braves and Astros. 83% of the teams that win Game 3 win the series. There's a little factoid for you.
We'll be all over the Braves tonight, that's for sure. That is for sure. Hey, thank you, my friend.
That's Wayne Hogan. Anytime you come on, because I love the breadth of your knowledge. You're a lot smoother on the mic than I am as I fumble, bumble, and stumble. So you're more than welcome to come anytime you'd like, my friend.
I love it. Thank you, sir.
All right, Wayne Hogan and Florida Rising Stars.
Good to see you, Brandy.
Always good to see you. I'll see you on the 15th. We'll talk before then as well.
And that's Wayne's World of Sports. That's going to be a new segment, Wayne's World of Sports.
Wayne's World of Sports.
Could you name it? He has absolutely been there and done that. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit because I've wanted to talk to this young man from the first time I met him. Anybody that's making a difference in the youth sports, as we say, from the positive perspective here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And I was very impressed with Shane Westbrook. And he's from End Zone Sports. I think I'm correct there.
You got it right on the dot.
All right, young man, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. We first of all, thanks again for having me back. Love being out here.
Well, I like to get these messages spread. You know, we had a high school team on earlier, and I was talking to the coach, Mike Miller, about the importance of the youth feeder systems. And here you are, and your father founded this. You now have an opportunity for kids of all income opportunities to participate. Absolutely. Share this with me.
Yeah, it's something very neat that's going on. And so the biggest barrier between youth sports and kids in most scenarios is cost. A lot of programs nowadays just have costs through the roof. So End Zone Sports, as a the whole entire company as a whole, has partnered with an institution called Every Kid Sports. And what this is any child who's receiving any Medicaid benefits, SNAP or WIC, they'll play in our league for free. It's a very easy process. They just go on the Every Kid Sports website, basically apply, prove their Medicaid or SNAP or WIC. Every Kid Sports will then send them a Visa check card that they can use to sign up for the league. So it's eliminating that barrier between cost and youth sports.
Okay, now let's talk about how they get involved with your organization first, and where to go, and the seasons that are taking place right now.
Yeah.
Let's go over that. Do a nice plug for your organization.
Absolutely. So we're wrapping up our fall season right now. It feels like winter today, you know, but wrapping up our fall season. Yeah, we have
feels played. Like fall. Come
it
on,
does,
man. I'm from
this
Iowa.
This morning, yeah.
You Floridians are wimps, but go ahead. Yeah, I see you're triple layered up here today, dude.
Yeah, it felt like it was negative 20 degrees
outside
this morning.
Oh, my God. Okay, continue.
Yeah, so our fall season wraps up next week. We had our Candy Bowl today where kids came out, wore their Halloween costumes. It was a lot of fun. Then next week we'll have our final week where we'll have playoffs and championship games. And then that Saturday next week, registration will open up. Right now it's open only for any returning players so that they want to request their coaches. We have a lot of just awesome coaches, guys putting on barbecues for their teams and Halloween parties.
Volunteering their time.
Together. Exactly. That's what it's all about.
Okay, now let's go over the age groups that you guys represent.
Yeah. Yeah, we start at the age of 3.
Three?
Three, yeah.
Your daughter's missed a year already, your granddaughter.
And in that 3-year-old program, it's very cool to watch because they don't necessarily play games.
They don't know what they're doing.
Because at that attention span, it's impossible to get them to focus for 5 minutes.
Five seconds?
Yeah, 5 seconds.
I just had my grandkids leave here.
It's more accurate, yeah. But they basically do drills with our coach and learn not only the fundamentals of the game, but stuff like spatial awareness and working with teammates. So that's a 3-year-old age group. And then our competitive age groups start at the age of 4 and go up to about the age of 12 or 13. Even 14, some locations have the age of 14. And as these, you know, 12, 13-year-olds get older, will then increase the age groups just because they're having so much fun and they don't want to stop playing.
What I want, we're going to stay in contact, I'm certain of that. What I want you to do when we launch our video channel, I want you to take some footage of those three-year-olds so we can get some traction as far as views, because it's just comical. They're running around like...
It is.
Oh, my God. Have you ever watched a soccer game for the 4- and 5-year-olds? It's like they're chasing...
My 4-year-old granddaughter is playing soccer. And then they did a dance routine, and my son sent a video, and he said, it looks like a bunch of drunk ladies that have been out all night trying to perform.
Well, and they steal the ball from each other.
But they were beautiful.
Yeah, they steal the ball from each other. There's no passing the ball.
They don't know which goal to go into sometimes, so that's why Enzone Jr. is there, to teach them that things.
Who's there?
Enzone Jr. That's what that program's called for the 3-year-olds. Just because, again, they don't necessarily play games.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's called Enzone Jr. It's a little different. And it was
oh, I
really
like that.
Today, kids with Despicable Me costumes on and Spider-Man playing soccer. It's adorable to watch.
Where were you playing today? Where were you playing?
Yep. So all our games are at Woodlawn Park. And then we're actually opening up a second location in Seminole in the
Good.
Spring. Yeah, so we're slowly moving about the St. Pete area. Right now we're at Woodlawn Park, just about 5 minutes north of downtown St. Pete.
All right, Shane, why don't you...
They are. Yep.
Give us the website and how people can get out there again.
Yeah, absolutely. So the website with all the information or to get signed up, that's going to be endzonesports.com/Pinellas, and that's going to be the letter N as in Nancy, and then zonesports.com/Pinellas.
All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you coming over. I know it's a short window, but we'll keep this top of mind.
Absolutely.
Because we're very impressed on what you're doing with every kid. And the opportunity, these kids deserve the opportunity as much as the kids that have the wherewithal. And it's important at U Sports. So,
absolutely.
I applaud you and tell your pops, proud of what he's launched
definitely.
And what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on.
You bet. That's Shane Westbrook, Enzone Sports.
We'll be seeing more of you.
Hey, Brandy, turn around. And there's a stranger just snuck in directly behind you. Randy Grimes. You were on last week, Randy Grimes.
Mr. Grimes is in the house.
I think my family has his attention, but he should be watching his Baylor Bears, Texas. Right now, Texas is ahead 7.
You know, our NFL alumni, the reason I knew about Every Kid Sports, it's everykidsports.org, and then he was talking about Enzone, his program.
Enzone Sports, yep.
At Woodlawn, but our alumni helps promote them because of the fundamentals and the things that they're doing with all the different types of sports.
Hey, you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we're now part of the Hoovy team out of Orlando. Hoovy is a Finnish for fun, and Hoovy delivers fun. And through their video streaming platform or Sports Meet Lifestyles, tune into myhoovy.com as well as the St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast are going to be on there now. It'll be a few weeks, 3-4 weeks. We're going to have a studio down here at Ferg's, and we'll be streaming our own video channel with 10 different sports. And the podcast will provide opportunities to showcase your business.
And Mr. Randy, oh.
I'm trying to do a promo while you guys are having a conversation. You know what that ON button is for, their young lady? I love you. But anyway, streaming video on. Audience combined with the 3-county radio network that we provide, and it's a social media website presence that's included, and it's ideal for putting your company in front of the audience you want to reach. And we'll be talking much more about that. Roger Warren will be coming over in the next couple of weeks, and we'll go into great detail of how we're going to expand this footprint of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network and now video channel and our social media position. Cameron Wimbley is going to assist us. Of course, you've heard him on the show many times. And like I said, it's myhoovy.com. And for championship caliber content to provide your business competitive, trackable results for sponsorship opportunities. And I tell you what, it's been a very, very fun day down here. I mean, talk about vibrant. Tomorrow, we're going to be down here on the street. They're closing down Central Avenue. I don't care if you're listening in Tampa, if you're listening up in Clearwater. Come on down. It's going to be a blast down here. From 31st Street to 9th, from noon to 5, every business, every boutique, this sports bar, I'll be out there with my friends. And we're going to have a lot of fun handing out candy, Ferg's things. And they're going to have a dog parade. Be a lot, absolute blast. And then at 4:30, it is the Bucks watch party. And they're taking on the New Orleans Saints. And as I said, that's going to be kind of unique tomorrow. You'll have a lot of guys sitting at home watching the game, and they're going to turn off their light. They're not going to be handing out the candy. I don't think that's a good deal. Listen to the game, sit out front, and hand the candy out to the kids. I want to thank Wayne Hogan. I mean, he is a plethora of sports information. The years he was the sports information director when hey, Brandy, throw Randy on the air for a minute. I want to talk about his Baylor Bears. It'll cost you a beverage and a bite. But I can't believe that you just walked here and you're not in front of that Texas and Baylor game.
Well, I came out to say goodbye to some people I was eating with and saw you. And, of course, you're so stunning.
Yeah,
that it took my breath away and I had to sit down.
Your lovely bride needs to get you to an optometrist right away, my man.
Yeah, this is a big week for Baylor. It's Hex Tex week, and
is that what they call it? Hex Tex.
Hex Tex. Yeah.
Well,
you know, us Baptists, we can't get any stronger language than that.
Yeah, you know? I bet you never used any strong language those 10 years when you were with the Bucks. Not when you had a quarterback change, yeah, coaching change.
Coaches, right.
Oh yeah. So you guys down here watching the game?
I was watching the first half here, y'all. And eating with my friends, and I'll go watch the second half from home.
What was the score? I saw 7-0.
It was 10-14 when Texas was up.
The good guys?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's a long game, though.
You know, I was listening to one of the national pundits today. They're talking about that game, and they said everybody in the state is a Baylor fan if you're not a Longhorn fan. Just like when Texas Tech plays Texas.
Right.
Everybody wants, if they're not a Texas fan, they want Texas going down. And that's correct, right?
That's pretty much true, yeah.
All right.
Well, and I've been hearing some stuff this week about Coach Briles, Art Briles, our old coach at Baylor. Maybe something going on at Texas Tech. If anybody can confirm that or knows anything about it, I'd like to know more about that, too.
You know what, though? Let's talk about that real quick. We got a few minutes. That's sad. At this point in the collegiate world, or just the world we live in, it's what did you do for me yesterday? The coach is 5-3, and you hack him in the middle of the season. Now, I hope there's more to the story than we're being told right now, than just being 5-3 and you lost your last game, and they felt
right,
like
right, right.
Now that's just the world we live in now.
It's ruthless out there, you know, and it's definitely changed. It's not the same. Same place that we grew up in playing sports.
Hex Tex week, huh?
Hex Tex.
Has every team in the state used that term when they're playing them? Or is that just a Baylor Bear?
We know Oklahoma does, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming down last week. That was one of my favorite conversations. My friends are in love with you. And I love the fact that people still send you their football cards and have you sign them.
Oh,
that is cool.
Yeah,
you're not forgotten, brother.
Is how they can find me. No matter where I am, those cards find me.
Well,
so
everybody knows persistent. Where everybody's at these days. You're not going to lose
actually
them.
All you got to do is Google the man.
Well, hopefully my address doesn't pop up, but obviously they're finding me somehow.
And now you're in my neighborhood. I like that. All right, my man. I will see you for lunch coming week.
Take care of yourself.
Have a great weekend.
Stay out of trouble.
Go Bears.
Bail money if you don't.
Okay, well, yeah, I appreciate that.
I'll see you soon.
All my friends typically carry bail money for me. Yeah, we had a great conversation last week while you were big-timing us on the golf course, by the way.
Oh, my God, it was a great event. I got to tell you, the PGA Magazine group now
– looking forward to talking to those guys.
Our big tournaments for us with the NFL Alumni National. And they did a phenomenal job. We, you know, there were 8-9 of us on a team to help put it on, and I was very honored that I was able to go over and help out.
I guarantee you did not tee it up because you're a cheat on the course. You tee it up in the fairway. Your poor late husband.
No, wait, this is not something that I was allowed to play in.
That's
first
cool.
And foremost, these were our winning chapter teams that come in to play for the big boy championship of Super Bowl golf rings, autographed footballs, some of the best darn whiskey I've ever tasted in my life called Clover.
I think you're turning into an alcoholic. I think you go to these events, you find out what kind of booze they have, and then you say, okay, I'm in. I'm in.
No, I was just standing by when our Cleveland team won, Frank Stams, and for the ambassador captain that came in to play with the team, he got this whole box of this Clover whiskey, Clover bourbon whiskey. He got two glasses, which then came into like 12 glasses, and everybody had to have a sample of it.
Of course you had to have it.
You can't even buy it in the store. You got to go to a country club to get the darn stuff.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh,
I tried looking it up online.
Well, country clubs are kind of going the way of the dodo bird across America. They better be the elitist of the elite.
Then I thought maybe I don't want to know how much it costs.
Yeah, exactly. I'd savor that in my mouth. All right, Rolling Stones again last night. You give it an A+.
Is it because
of our age group, or
it
was just
a 10-star out of a 5? I really am. They were amazing. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll be able to pick out, and I did cut some video music in there too. There was only one problem. And there's always
there
the
wasn't
problem.
Any free booze for you, elitist brews.
No, but on one of the videos that I did take, I only took from the back of their heads because that was what was blocking us most of the night. There's always the couple
that
wants to stand the whole night.
You know what, though?
Be rude and obnoxious and raise their hands.
They're at a concert. Rock and roll.
But you asked them nicely, just put your arms down for a minute so I can take a photo.
Oh, okay.
Raise the phone up. Blah, blah, blah.
I have an issue with people that go to ball games and ask you to sit down. I'm like, you should go to the theater. You're in the wrong place. Go to the theater, the symphony. Do not come to sporting events or rock and roll concerts.
Most of us were all standing for two. Listen, these guys played 2.5 hours
straight. That's amazing.
Straight.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They were awesome.
All right, young lady. Well, are you off to any world travels next weekend? Give me a little heads up.
Next weekend, I'm here.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm here.
Well, I'll make sure we
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Oh, I have my granddaughter for a sleepover Friday night.
This coming Friday night.
This coming Friday night, the 5th.
All right. I wish you had more time. We talk about Batman and his role tomorrow.
And you
tomorrow
got your beautiful family here today celebrating.
And then that's my buddy. He's 66 years old today.
Well, happy birthday
to the great Kenneth Knowles, my man.
Happy birthday.
And he still calls me his friend, which is shocking. I do have one friend in the world.
I like his hat he's wearing.
Yeah, well, he's typically got Iowa State on, and they're on next. So he's a chameleon. He'll be changing next. All right, well, for Mike Miller, the Boca Ciega baseball team, Shane Westbrook, Wayne Hogan, my wing woman on the radio when she's in town, Brandy Winans, Joe Berdreau, Big Ed up in Clearwater on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard, thanking you for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a great weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Go Bucks, and be sure to have a championship weekend.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's 10 Talk.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. In Northern Virginia, outside of the nation's capital, police are asking people to keep their eyes peeled over a credible threat. Not only is it Halloween weekend, but the Commonwealth's gubernatorial election is Tuesday. In Fairfax County, Police Chief Kevin Davis says,
we have ramped up our presence at places where people shop, where people recreate, gather, dine.
At the G20 summit in Rome, a win for President Biden after a loss for him here in the U.S. this week. CBS's Stephen Portnoy is there.
The endorsement of a new baseline tax of 15% across the world's largest economies is meant to end what Biden aides call a race to the bottom, with countries competing against one another to lower taxes to attract corporate investment. Achieving this deal has been a key White House priority. Aides say keeping the profits of American companies within reach of the IRS would offset some of the cost of the president's Build Back Better agenda.
Parents of kids between the ages of 5 and 11 might be able to get them vaccinated next week. CBS's Michael George explains.
The Pfizer children's vaccine is about a third of the adult dose, but a clinical trial found it was nearly 91% effective at preventing COVID. If it gets final CDC approval next week, some 28 million children will be eligible for shots.
That's just in time for Halloween.
It's just a really great feeling that we can be back to normal a little bit.
It feels weird after being social distanced for so long, and now we can all like come together again.
Game 4 of the World Series is tonight, and Atlanta is looking to increase its lead. CBS's Steve Futterman has been following the games.
There hadn't been a World Series game played here in Atlanta for more than 20 years, and before the game, Atlanta fans were ecstatic.
I am so stoked. I'm so excited.
The star of Game 3 was starting pitcher Ian Anderson. He pitched five innings of no-hit ball, then was removed from the game. He didn't question his manager's decision.
You want the chance to compete, and then especially on the biggest stage like this is, but yeah, I knew he wasn't going to budge.
Tonight, Game 4. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the World Series in Atlanta.
In California, drivers are dealing with sticker shock over skyrocketing gas prices. People whose vehicles take premium gas are shelling out a whopping $6.29 a gallon. Even those taking less pricey fuel are waiting in line to get it at $3.95 a gallon. This driver is done.
We just bought a hybrid for that reason. And our next car will be an electric.
The sizzling prices are being blamed on refinery closures and production issues tied to last week's record-breaking rain. Power outages didn't help matters at all. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.